Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're on top of everything here.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What an awful piece of execution by the downtrodden Chicago Bears.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I've said it like five times. We didn't do anything well enough to win.
So then his media availability today.
Look, fellas, I apologize.
Belichick. Kinder and gentler.
Today's guests, two-time Super Bowl champion Eli Manning, Ole Miss head coach Lane Kiffin, ESPN NBA Today analyst Richard Jefferson, plus your phone calls and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yes, everybody. Woo-hoo! Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're here live in Los Angeles, California, getting set for two more football games tonight after two last night, and I am wearing a plum sweater. Welcome to this edition of our program on NBC Sports on Peacock, on NBC Sports Audio, Channel 85, on your Sirius XM dial. Hello to the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio listeners. This station's smart enough to have us, so we appreciate the program directors and all the P1s out there who listen to us on this terrestrial radio dial. We also say hello to our Odyssey listeners streaming us from coast to coast. We say hello to our podcast listeners listening to us whenever you darn well please. It's your right. And it's also greatly appreciated that you listen to our podcast version of this show, where all podcasts are acquired on the Cumulus Podcast Network. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Every single day, we love watching how you consume our program, and why you consume it is something that we don't take for granted. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you, sir?
Professor Plum with the microphone in the studio.
That's it.
Got it. Yeah.
That's okay. It. Yeah. That's it. That's it. You're Mr. White.
I'll take it.
Okay. Good to see you. Jason Feller is here. Hey, good to see you, Feller.
Good to see you.
What's up, Jay Felt? How are you? And then good to see you, TJ Jefferson.
Yeah, Rich,
good to see you.
You have a plum sweater on. I have an Io Shirai t-shirt on. So we're pretty much the same.
On the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah, you know.
Good to see Jay Felly. If he had a grease board like you, it'd be how about them Raiders?
Yeah.
Yep.
His Las Vegas Raiders. He's part of Raider Nation.
Jackpot, baby.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, what a game yesterday against Big Nick Mullins and the Cleveland Browns, who basically had Nick Chubb, David Njoku, Donovan Peoples-Jones. And they had Higgins going. They had and Myles Garrett on one wheel, and Greedy Williams and the rest of that defense balling out best they can. And Cleveland had it right there. I mean, what a win that would have been for the Cleveland Browns. And I know that is a constant phrase that does not pay, unfortunately, in Cleveland too often. But I mean, to be teed up right there for a dub at home, and to pick off Derek Carr with 2 minutes and change to go, and have that be the remaining high point of your game, is just patently disappointing and upsetting. That one last Daniel Carlson kick sent the Cleveland Browns from first place in the AFC North to last place in the AFC North. From fourth overall to 12th overall in the AFC. That's how crazy it is for the AFC playoff picture right now. In the AFC North neighborhood, and then the entire conference from coast to coast. From fourth to 12th. From the penthouse to the outhouse. And the outhouse, though, is only just a game back in the division. So it's still not over in the division for the Cleveland Browns, because one of their remaining games is against the Cincinnati Bengals, who they've already beaten. I said this weeks ago. It still is the case for Cleveland. The problem for Cleveland is they still have a whole host of players sitting on the COVID list, and hopefully they will test out in time for Christmas, because they have to go visit the Green Bay Packers, who are playing the best, most consistent football in the entire National Football League right now, with Aaron Rodgers playing the best football of his life. And that is saying a lot, because he won the MVP last year doing exactly that. It looks really bleak for the Cleveland Browns right now. And I know it doesn't feel great to be a Cleveland Brown fan, that you feel like the NFL gods kicked you in the nards once again. But you could still win this division. You got to go to Lambeau first, though, and win that game. A very tough assignment. As for the Las Vegas Raiders, what more has this team been through and gone through? What more can they go through? Their coach, they have an incredible start to the season, and their coach, poof, is gone. Google it if you need to for John Gruden. I don't think anybody needs to. Henry Ruggs, on their bye week, gets drunk, gets behind the wheel of a car, kills somebody, going in insane miles per hour. His life is essentially destroyed. He destroys another person's life, and that now rests in the locker room with somebody that they went to battle with and they loved and they were shocked by and they're maybe disappointed by. But all of those emotions needed to be corralled with an interim head coach, and the team swooned. But they show up on Thanksgiving and beat the Dallas Cowboys, and then they swoon again, and then they get a game in Cleveland, one of those must-have games, and it's on a Saturday, and they show up for work on Friday. I had Brian Edwards, who had the first touchdown of the night for the Vegas Raiders last night, and he had he opened the scoring in the game. I had him on the Westwood One halftime coverage of the Bears and the Vikings. He confirmed what everyone was reporting, Chris, last Friday, is that they showed up to McCarran Airport. They were waiting. Ready to go. Yeah. They were going through TSA, said, turn around.
Wow.
Go home. They were going through the checkpoint. Okay? So they didn't get through security, which means they never saw Serrano take the discs, as you know, that he took it through security. Or no, actually, it was before security. That's exactly right.
Probably
so maybe they could have seen Serrano.
Different security.
My gratuitous Midnight Run reference has fallen flat. But they had to turn around, go home. Okay, so what? We just wait for an update? You'll text us when to go to the airport? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they're flying standby.
Going on? Like that's flying standby. So they then go to Cleveland, and yeah, they did have more of their players, and Cleveland had more of theirs. And I know that's what a lot of people might say, the Vegas Raiders, you couldn't beat Nick Mullins. Hey, man, you're still human beings who had to get on a plane, who had to get out of their routine, and this is a very routinized business. And it looked pretty damn bleak when Derek Carr threw that interception, and they played defense, and they got the ball back, and Carr got him down the field, and Daniel Carlson is nails. And the Vegas Raiders are still in the mix. They're at 7-7. Yeah, I'm telling you, there's a chance.
Yeah!
They're at 7-7 right now. They're 10th in the conference, sniffing it, behind the Steelers and the Ravens. So they're, you know, the Dolphins, Browns, and Broncos are looking up at the Raiders, and that Browns loss to the Raiders, I fear, could be one of those tie breaks that they don't want to have placed on the table a couple weeks into January. But just one way that it won't matter is win the division. And they can. They absolutely can. But first things first, get everyone off the COVID list and go to Green Bay and try and win a football game. And the Raiders are one of the most resilient bunches that we've seen in the NFL in quite some time. You know, we made a lot of what the Ravens have been through in terms of injuries, but the Raiders lost their coach in week 3 and lost a teammate because he killed somebody. And I know that Henry Ruggs is his life is what it now is, but he was still a teammate to his his locker room mates, and I tip your Raiders cap in their direction, Mr. Jay Felly.
Well, thank you.
It really was an amazing win for them last night. The Vikings are who we think they are, which is I don't know who the hell they are. I mean, they did play well enough to win a game last night, and I think that they are a talented bunch with a quarterback who can light it up, although he didn't last night, and a wide receiver who is top five in the league in Justin Jefferson, and no Adam Thielen last night, and Dalvin Cook is a top five running back who just kept running into a buzzsaw. He ran 28 times. If it was the Steelers, he would have had 400 yards with 28 runs. But he was against the Bears defense that just is not quitting. And he only got 89 yards out of it. And, you know, it's fortunate for them. They're facing a Bears team that is just absolutely 100% going to have a next coach next year, a new coach. I like Matt Nagy. He's been on the show. He gave me a visor. You know, he took my advice about not wearing a visor because we're part of the Bald Brotherhood together. I'm concerned about his dome. he came into the league and, turned Trubisky straw into gold. They made a playoffs. They got double doinked at home. They could have easily been a division round team that year where Nagy was coach of the year. Forget Matt Nagy has coach of the year on his resume. A lot of people seem to forget that right now. But it's just not working. It's not working at all. You could say that choosing a young quarterback and throwing him into this mix while potentially setting up the Bears for the future was just a very wrong move to win this year with the line as it was constituted to protect this kid up front. And the rest of the weaponry around him maybe not ready. But that's the whole, once Matt Nagy is no longer there, and I fear that that's the language to be used, we'll talk about Ryan Pace, the general manager, making these decisions. They don't have a first-round draft choice till 2023. They need to protect Justin Fields, who definitely wasn't ready. We all can see that, but he does have some ability. And unfortunately, for a coach who needs to win now, that's just not the right quarterback to have. And it's just all going. I just felt for Matt Nagy. He probably had to look around like, do I have to have some sort of a seance? What do I have to do? What do I have to do? What do I have to offer up to the football gods to change all of this? But the signs of a poor team are mistakes, obviously, and then shooting yourself in the foot mistakes. There's mistakes in execution, and then there's just mistakes like personal foul penalties. Last night's game by the numbers for the Bears, 4 personal foul penalties, including one of his own, Matt Nagy. He almost got a second one, too, with an angry challenge flag. I texted Mooch. There's a famed Mariucci angry challenge flag.
I mean, he Gronk spiked that.
I know he did, but the whole thing is that he didn't need to do it because they had already changed the spot of the football. The sky judge had already chimed in, and that's a kind of difficult for a lot of us to understand.
Well,
sitting at home,
communication is
right. And at one point, they didn't even make an announcement that they had reviewed it and changed. And I forget which one that, of the many moments where there's a ruling on the field, and then after 30 seconds, you hear the ref say the ruling on the field is now something completely different. And when that happens, by the way, folks, that means that New York City, which is watching the game, has gotten in the ears of all the officials on the field to say, hey, this is the way it is. Let's save everyone a challenge flag. Let's leave the game a couple minutes. Let's just change the ruling right here. Nagy and the Bears, 4 personal foul penalties last night. 4 personal foul penalties, 3 turnovers on downs, 2 fumbles, and 1 touchdown with no time left. Just to make it a little prettier. And I guess put the scare in whoever had what. I texted you for that right away. For whoever had Bears plus 7.5.
7.5.
There's no more extra points, folks. Yeah, we don't do that anymore.
Tease is still hit.
By the way, in case everyone's wondering why no extra points anymore on those situations, the Music City Miracle changed all that. If you remember that, when Stephon Diggs and the Minnesota Vikings shocked the Saints in the playoffs, they dragged the Saints out of the locker room to kick the extra point that meant nothing. The Minnesota Miracle back in the day. Remember that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did I say Miami Miracle? The Miami Miracle was the Music City. My bad. Yeah. The Minnesota Miracle changed all that. They tracked the Saints out of the locker room to kick the extra point. I know you just lost the most heartbreaking playoff game and the most heartbreaking defeat.
We need 11 guys to come stand here.
Literally, that happened.
so they
any 11.
I think Sean Payton, who was on the competition committee at the time, came out and said, yeah, we need to change that. At any rate, the Bears are absolutely one of the worst teams in football. And Matt Nagy's going to get it. And the question is only, is the general manager going to get it too? Do the McCaskies clean the entire house?
I mean, they should have already. It's
you know,
it's 11-15 in Chicago. Like, what are we waiting for?
Well, there's three games to go.
But you need to get a leg up on interviews.
Potentially, you can, or I don't know. You may have already. I don't know the answer to that. We'll find out how this new early window of coaches being made available for interviewing does change anything. If you're one of those organizations, like, I can wait, you know, another week and a half. We'll get our in. You know, we're the Chicago Bears. We have a lot to offer. You know, I don't know. And it's certainly not like you're going to need to give the fans what they want, because nobody showed up last night. If you saw, there was hardly anybody in the stands in Soldier Field last night. So the Vikings got, you know, what they needed to do, which is a win. They also got fortunate that they're facing a team that's, you know, staggering to the finish. Despite the Bears' defense balling out, man. You know, and that is something that you should give to Matt Nagy's credit, is that the team doesn't look like they are tapped out. That defense did not look to me like they were tapped out. I just think offensively they're tapped out in terms of talent to be there for Justin Fields up front. You know, up front. And then some of the play calling. And this is definitely, I notice it because of fantasy. David Montgomery. I mean, he gets two snaps. When he ran it three times in a row last night, I'm like, okay, that makes sense here.
Yeah, yep.
Right? And then out he comes. And then let's do a jet sweep. Let's do this. Let's do that. And, you know, I guess you got to have some variety. But that's the guy you need to run your offense through, not Justin Fields. It's 32. He's a difference maker. And Fields maybe one day. He just isn't yet. And, man, it would have been nice for the Bears to finish up strong with a big win last night. But they just don't have the horses. And 17-9. Once again, Vikings have a one-score game. Just when you thought they'd finally win by more than one score, the last second touchdown changes all of that. So if the Vikings run into a team that could put points on the board and they have a game like that against the defense, they might be one and done. If they're the seventh seed, which they are right now, if the Washington football team wins tonight, Washington football team is the seventh seed. If the Eagles win tonight, they're 7-7, but the Vikings stay in that seventh spot. So Minnesota fans are rooting hard for either Jalen Hurts or Gardner Minshew, or we'll find out shortly if the Washington football team is going to have Taylor Heineke or Kyle Allen available. According to Ron Rivera, they're both sitting there in Washington, D.C., hoping to get the proper test results. And I guess what, they'll take the Amtrak up?
Yes.
So yeah, it is, they'll take the fast train? I don't know.
It's not that far.
It's not. Let's take a break. We have got some great guests. Eli Manning's first up. As you know, we love the Manning cast. There's something he also wants to talk about called the Eli Manning Show. Wait till you hear who his next guest is. Certainly in advance of the Bears-Giants game that's coming up in, with 2 weeks to go.
Jeez.
Yes, indeed. Think of the greatest, the most famous Bears fan that's out there, and he's the guest.
Ashton Kutcher?
It's not him.
Oh, okay.
With all due respect to your BFF. Lane Kiffin, speaking of Ole Miss, the head coach of Ole Miss is going to be on here. Can't wait to hear his thoughts on the NIL and the early signing period and all that good stuff. And by the way, he went from the pros to college, so he must have a good sense of, or an opinion on Urban Meyer, one would think.
Sure,
Richard Jefferson will be joining us because hoops, Christmas Day hoops right around the corner. He wants to promote all that. We have got a new segment on the program that's coming up in hour number one, actually later on in this hour. Stay tuned for our new segment called Rise and Shine. We'll tell you what that's all about. Also, I've got a four downs. Got that. And break out your shiny puffy coats, everybody.
Take that.
Okay. for Kurt Warner. Let's take a break. Eli Manning joining us when we come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Excited to chat with one of my favorites. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here with our terrestrial radio affiliates, joining us on NBC Sports on Peacock and NBC Sports Audio Sirius XM Channel 85, and joining us here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is a man. The Manning cast, as you know, I have said nothing but love for, because it is just a total delight. And the Eli Manning Show can be seen on the Giants YouTube channel. The next episode drops 2 days before New Year's with Bill Murray as his guest.
Oh, wow.
Eli Manning back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Eli?
I'm doing great, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing better. I'm doing better for talking to you. So, why was Kurt Warner wearing your jacket last night, Eli? Was that something from back in the mid-aughts that he got from you, that jacket from last night? Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
You didn't?
Is he wearing my jacket?
Oh,
no.
My gosh.
What happened?
Oh, Eli, you've been off of Twitter. Yeah, Kurt.
I'm off. I've been off Twitter today.
Okay. Kurt wore a jacket last night. It was this big silver puffy jacket. And he got roasted, big time roasted for it. Lance Briggs said it looked like a wrapped up burrito. NFL Network said it looked like a Hershey's Kiss, like that sort of thing. I thought you'd have definitely seen that.
I follow you on Twitter, so if I check my Twitter, did you comment on it?
Have I commented on it? I have not yet. No. Okay.
No,
I'm sorry. I let you down.
No wonder I did.
Is that how my tweet made the Manning cast a few weeks ago? Where you noticed it during a commercial break? Is that what happened?
Exactly. I notice everything you do.
I appreciate that.
I'm a follower.
Hey, Eli, the Manning cast has been an absolute delight. I'm wondering if this is what you guys envisioned when you decided to do this for ESPN.
Yeah, I think so. This is what we were, what we hoped would people would find entertaining. And so I think just the idea of Peyton and I, hanging out, talking ball, taking shots at each other, and having some fun guests on guys a little bit, where you can poke fun at them. No one's gonna get sensitive, no one's gonna get their feelings hurt, and so we kind of knew going in, the first couple was gonna be a little bit of, hey, let's see what works, what doesn't work, and see what fans like and adjust. From that, we tried to have a few kind of scripted things early on with some plays. Peyton trying on helmets. He was a little nervous. I think a little excited. He was a little excited the first couple episodes. We kind of got through those and just said, hey, we don't have to plan much. That's what the game's for. You know, have some guests, plan for the guests. Mm-hmm. But when we're just talking ball, let's talk. You know, something's going to happen that we can discuss and find interesting just from our knowledge of being around the game for so long.
And then again, so both of you, are those studios built in your nearby or in your basement? So are those really your?
I'm in my basement. Yeah, I'm in my basement, and when I built it, it wasn't planned to be a studio to host Monday Night Football. That was not in the game plan. But Peyton somehow convinced a buddy of his to let him use his kind of garage little area. And so I'm sure, you know, at first, you know, it was kind of sold as, hey, it's just like a Zoom. It's easy. You pop right in. It's not quite that. A little more lights, more cameras, more TVs, more people in your area than maybe we were initially told.
So your commute is just downstairs. He's got to hop in a car, is what you're saying. To get to work.
He's got to hop in a car, which is maybe not a bad thing. Maybe not a bad thing. I just go right downstairs. My kids love Monday night, so they kind of like the excitement of people around. They usually come down kind of in the basement with me around 7 o'clock. I go down and just kind of go over my notes and make sure everything's working. They run down and just start, you know, they like all the cameras. They get the laser pointer. They're on the little tablet. They're drawing things. They're, you know, they like all the toys and start dancing. And when, you know, they see a camera, they kind of, you know, that's there. They light up and start acting out, which makes it fun.
So, I mean, and the thing that I enjoy seeing too, well, is just, you know, you guys and your natural habitat of being brothers. You know, and also just, you know, behind the scenes in a well. I never thought I'd see Peyton in skinny jeans, to be honest with you. Also, I've never seen him inhale his hand before. How come you're not caught on camera eating? Do you not? What's up with that, Eli?
Well, because I'm East Coast time, so the game starts at 8:15. I've already eaten dinner. He's in Denver. You know, game starts at 6:15. He's got the commute before, so he's not hungry at 5:30. He's got so that's at halftime is his dinner.
So it's an unfortunate scheduling, I guess wouldn't call it an snafu, an issue. And so and I just noticed there was one week where he left and he turned his back to eat.
Well, because he was doing it the first couple weeks as well. He would just be eating there, devouring food. And I kind of just secretly said to the producer, I'm like, hey, are we filming this? Let's just make sure like we're catching this for future reference. And we need to go back. And then another week, again, he was, when he was just eating a full chicken, fried chicken, but it wasn't, just with his hands. And so I'm like, just double checking. We're recording this, not thinking I was going to use it at the time, but he took a shot at me for something. And I kind of brought it up, and, you know, credit to the producers. They quickly could reference anything that has been filmed, previously. So they went right to it, and there you go. So a lot of it is, you know, it's not planned, it's not scripted, and you know, so that's the idea. You know, I think Peyton and I both understand that, like, hey, you know, the us making fun of each other is what people like, what people enjoy. Mm-hmm. And so you almost, you know, try to create it, like, I'm, you know, try to throw softballs to each other so they can, you know, just, you know, bash, you know, he can bash me and vice versa.
Well, the thing I also like too is just both of yours, although you either hide it more or what have you, distaste for bad football. Just, you know,
yeah, clock management.
Oh, gosh.
That's Peyton's biggest pet peeve, I think, I've discovered is, yeah, clock management before halftime.
Right.
And our end of the game is just, you know, what frustrates him more than anything else.
Absolutely. I see all that, but I enjoy that. And of course, both of your brilliant knowledge of pre-snap, post-snap, then diagnosing it. It's great. And when the games are tight in the fourth quarter, I just love locking in with you. And if you have a guest that also, like Russell Wilson week one, terrific.
I mean, great,
it's just great. Just locking in with you guys about what's to be expected, what happened, what should have happened. It's great, Eli. Truly, congratulations on that.
Thank you. No, thank you. I think it's been a lot of fun. You know, when I retired from football and trying to figure out kind of what I wanted to do going forward, I didn't, you know, at the time I didn't realize there was a job where you could just watch football and make fun of your brother. I'm glad that was an option. I think it just, you know, it's the perfect job for me. So I'm glad that's available.
Eli Manning here on the Rich Eisen Show. And the Eli Manning Show, so you got, you hung out with Bill Murray, and this is going to drop in advance of Bears Giants next Thursday, a week from this Thursday. How was that?
You know,
how was that?
It was unbelievable, and it wasn't originally meant to be a full show. It was just going to be a kind of a little tidbit, but we had so much good information. I am a huge Bill Murray fan, just growing up, you know, with especially with two older brothers, with Peyton and Cooper. They're 5 and 7 years older, so like, you know, I was probably, you know, watching Stripes and Meatballs before I should have. But you know, from Ghostbusters to Caddyshack to you know, anything. You know, Groundhog Day. Like I know every line. I know his name and all those characters. I've seen all those movies so many times. Where, you know, it was just fun for me to sit there, kind of just talk old school movies. What he was improvising, what was really scripted, and just to hang out with him. And then you know, we kind of just were walking around. How he, and all of a sudden he just reacts to people that we were around. I don't want to give away too much what happens in the show, but it involves some foreign exchange students, I believe, who had no idea who I was, but immediately recognized Bill Murray and what proceeds to happen. It's just, you know, such, you know, raw footage of him just in action. And he just, it was an awesome day for me, one of my childhood heroes.
Oh, that's great.
You know, and so it's been a lot of fun. I get to, you know, and normally do the show with Sean O'Hara. He wasn't there this day, but normally with Sean, who's, you know, I know you y'all know well.
Yes.
And done, you know, get to see, but one of my best friends and former teammates. So kind of the same, you know, similar relationship as Peyton and I, where we can attack each other. There's no sensitivity. We have a sensitivity fine rule. If you're a little sensitive, you get upset about anything, it's a fine that you have to pay. It eventually goes to charity.
Well, I mean, you also had Kevin Durant, Rich Kleiman, who's been on this show as well. That episode was earlier this month. Kevin Hart. I mean, this is fun. Terrific. But, you know, Bill Murray is like famously difficult to book. Like, you have to call like a number and he answers it from a payphone or something crazy.
He's got no agent.
Right. So how'd you get him? How'd you land Bill Murray?
I have my sources, Rich. Okay. I can't get my source. That was kind of part of the deal.
Okay. It's like Fight Club? It's like Fight Club? You can't talk about it?
Fight Club.
Okay.
The first rule about booking Bill Murray is you can't tell anybody how you booked Bill Murray.
Okay. Yeah, you know, that ain't easy, man. And Letterman the other night too. I mean, you guys have been Jon Stewart. I mean, you guys have had incredible guests, and you're getting the same here for the Eli Manning Show. And again, you're getting a sponsor next year. You got Duncan joining you next year. Does that mean we get free munchkins or something like that, Eli? Just for having you on the program to promote it. Can we get that?
Since you're promoting my show, I'll send you some munchkins.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. And again, we just want to make sure we know we're talking about donuts here. That's exactly what we're talking about. So, Eli, let me just ask you this question. The best team you've seen on Monday Night Football right now, from your perspective, is who?
Which one? Tough. I mean, you know how the NFL changes every week. Obviously, I thought the Patriots were playing really good football, and for them to win a game where their quarterback throws three passes in the game was pretty impressive. But then they go out and get, you know, get spanked by Indianapolis this kind of, or, you know, following week. I don't know if they got spanked, but got beat by Indy. So, you know, I still think they're a really good team. Their defense plays well. And then you catch some teams, you know, early on that weren't playing as well. And you look at like Kansas City that wasn't playing well, and now they're playing great. Offense is clicking, defense is clicking. So it definitely changes over the course of the season. But, you know, you kind of feel like, you know, Kansas City has regained their mojo and is kind of the team to beat right now.
Okay, so you like Kansas City. What about in the NFC? I mean, you see Rodgers playing out of his skull. Brady ran into another Saints wall. That was, you know, that's crazy. In the regular season, obviously. So what do you think in the NFC? What's your breakdown?
Yeah, I think, like you said, I think the Packers are playing the best football kind of all around. Mm-hmm. Rodgers, I think, just kind of faking this, you know, toe injury, just so people, you know, think he's hurt, and yeah. he's just, you know, throwing four yeah. touchdowns every game.
It's crazy.
And looks fine to me out there. I still think Tampa's right up there with them. Just you're always going to have that tough game. They lost a couple of guys, but they're still talented, and we'll have a little time to get back healthy and make the playoffs, and we'll still be good going down that stretch, I believe.
And then I'll ask you the question I know all my Giants friends would love for me to ask you. Daniel Jones, who I know you have a fondness for, and his season, there's just – I don't know how you evaluate, right? The offensive
right.
coordinator gets fired in the middle. He's now hurt. He's not going to play the rest of the year. And they have – the organization needs to make an evaluation on him, I would say. Toot sweet, certainly with maybe a new GM, and who the heck knows what's going on there. What would your opinion be on what the Giants should do in regards to your successor at the position?
Yeah, you know, obviously it's a tough situation with everything going on with the offense and the struggles they've had all season. And so I think that's kind of a call for Joe Judge and John Mara and Gettleman and what they're going to do from all those things, and Daniel Jones is in the mix there as well. And so, you know, I think it's hard to get a true evaluation. You know, I think he's made some adjustments and fixed some of the turnover problems, but you know, overall just did not score enough offensively. And you know, I think it's not just the quarterback problem. It's from receiver injuries, the running back injuries, the offense, you know, just a problem kind of across the board that make it tough to get a true analysis of what you have. And so I think they got to, you know, dive deep and really look at what the other options are as well. And do you, you know, give them another year to try to have a feel, or do you, you know, make a trade and get an established guy, or go to the draft? Obviously, so I mean, it's not none of these are easy decisions to make. There's not an easy answer. There's not a right answer
right.
necessarily. It's just trying to make the best and make some of those tough decisions. That's why, you know, hey, you are the owner, or you are the GM and head coach, because you're you know, qualified to make those tough decisions.
Eli, really appreciate your time. I'm always enjoy when you come on here, and I'm really loving the Manning Cast with you and your brother. And I know next one is this Monday. You're doing this Monday, Dolphin Saints. Is that what you're doing?
No, we're doing the following ones. We got Steelers and Browns.
Oh gosh, that's gonna be
Then we got a playoff one. We're doing the Monday
right.
night playoff game.
That'll
be exciting.
That will be exciting for that, for sure. And look, I know if you're ever needing time of tap dancing, I'm there, you know, at home. If you need me to come on and sing some karaoke, you know, and Peyton certainly knows, since I've awakened him many times at the Pro Bowl, you know, 1 a.m, you know, I can fill some time if necessary. I'm there for you.
Always. You know, always.
I've got your
what
back.
Song you, if we have you on, you have to sing karaoke. What are you going to sing?
That's life. Certainly, since if you're tap dancing, I think it works. You know what I mean? Like, that's life.
Work.
Sometimes things don't work out. They don't bounce your way. But, you know, shot down in April, you know, come back in May. That's it. You know what I mean?
There it is.
That's it.
I hear you.
You know that.
I'm clear.
I'm there for you, Eli. Have a great holiday with you and your family.
You too.
And my best to your
you
whole
too,
best to your folks. Please send my best. Oh, by the way, I got Lane Kiffin coming up next hour. You got any message for him at all?
Go win in the Sugar Bowl. Let's
okay.
go.
Okay.
Go to New Orleans.
Okay.
Go to my hometown.
There you go.
Oh, hey, stay away from the Hurricanes.
Okay. And by the way, I'm sure he would. Okay, I will do that, and I'm sure he'd want me to write back at you and say hello to your nephew for him. I think that's probably what he would like as well.
Right, yeah. Exactly. No doubt. No, Lane's done a great job.
More.
He's got Ole Miss playing great football, so it's been fun to be an Ole Miss fan this year.
Okay. Take care of yourself, Eli. You're the best.
All right, Rich.
Thanks,
you will.
Right
All
back
right.
at you. The Happy Eli out. Manning Show host. And check out the latest episode on the Giants YouTube page, December 30th, with Bill Murray. That is going to be a fun watch. Eli's had over 5 million video views across his platform. There you go, bro.
Eli.
Very good.
Love it.
Yeah, he had a Sopranos episode, was the most watched show on the Giants platforms in 2021.
Oh.
Yeah, he had Steve Schrippa and Michael Imperioli.
Nice. They have a podcast together about Sopranos.
Right, so I think that's what they were all doing. Pretty cool stuff, man.
That's awesome.
Yes, indeed. Very much so.
It's weird that even though...
Do you think I did say the right thing for Lane Kiffin? Say hi to your nephew for me.
Is that tampering?
I think that Eli can't say much because that's probably tampering.
Yeah.
Say hi to your nephew for me.
What is Arch? 10th grade, right?
No, he's a junior.
Junior, okay.
He can sling it.
Number one player in 2023.
His nephew could sling it.
His nephew could start for NFL team.
I don't know about that.
I think Washington would take him tonight if they could.
Cleveland would have taken him last night, probably.
Probably.
All right, we will take a break. Our new segment, Rise and Shine, when we come back and more of your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What did you just say with Kevin Stefanski?
Yeah, Stefanski has said this morning that he is not yet cleared. Neither has Case Keenum or Baker Mayfield. So the Browns are still have their key members in protocol, and it looks like it's going to be until the end of the week, until those guys are hopefully test negative and are ready to go. I mean, we saw it last night. Nick Mullins obviously did his best, but...
He was
unable to get a victory when they really needed it.
Yeah, no, and
it's crazy if you look at the standings, Rich. Yeah. Had they won, they would have been the fourth seed.
Yeah.
And instead, they lose, fall to 7-7. They are the 12th seed. That's how crazy it is
in
AFC
one kick
right now.
In one kick right there. So that's crazy if they're not going to be able to.
It's crazy.
Field a whole team on Christmas Day, and the Browns had an opportunity to win the division. Last or be in first place last night.
Well, it seems like
they have a chance to win the division.
Yeah, every team's still alive because they all play each other in the last 3 weeks.
And you could say the Raiders made a late push to be the first team to be featured in a new segment here on the Rich Eisen Show. Yes. I'm back together. Courtyard and I, we can't quit each other.
Why would you want to?
We just can't quit. You know the number of times I get people who say, I just checked into a Courtyard, where were you?
Like you worked the front desk?
And if you remember,
were you just always
there was a commercial campaign, and I talked about it a couple of weeks ago because, bless his soul, Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker were in the spot as Denver Broncos who were helping people in the bistro, mm-hmm. and I was checking people in at the front desk of a Courtyard by Marriott.
Right.
And they were very popular commercials. And people still say, you know, hey, I was just there. Where were you? Okay. Just go to the bistro and chill out, okay? I'll meet you there.
See you in a minute.
Yes. So a segment we are calling Rise and Shine.
Love it.
But it's R-E-I-S-E-N. Okay. You see what we're doing here?
Because eyes in. And
yes.
Add the R.
Yes. Wow. Rise and Shine. That. About a team or a group on a team or a player. Balling out on the road and shining out on the road, just like you could do with the Courtyard by Marriott's day. So, first up, though, they got in first because, you know, we were sticking to the plan because we're doing this on Tuesdays. The New Orleans Saints defense. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we all thought division game could be tough for the Bucs. With the Saints coming in. Certainly with the way that they played earlier this year and lost to them. That was a game in which Jameis went down. And certainly since they lost both regular season contests last year, the Bucs to the Saints. But that was when Breeze was there, right? No. And so you put it all together and you've got yourself a big-time performance that even though we saw the signs, came out of nowhere. Four sacks, two takeaways. Shutting out Tom Brady for the first time since 2006. That was 255 straight starts without being shut out, including the playoffs.
Crazy.
And then they held the Bucs to just 6 of 19 on third down, and the one fourth down they went for it didn't come up with it. And the one thing you can also show, because you could see how it went down in terms of keeping Brady off balance and making sure he couldn't throw over the middle. And yes, he lost his three main weapons. That's not helpful. But this bang thing was being applied before Evans, Godwin, and Fournette went out of the game. But the visual of Tom Brady throwing equipment and then staring into the abyss is all you need to know for a Saints team that needed it in the worst way. Their coach, their staff ravaged by COVID-19. Sean Payton's had it before and got it again, just like Stefanski, my goodness, in Cleveland. They came up with it just when they needed it. They were in the 7-seed spot for a fleeting moment, and they are still in this mix, in the playoff mix. And if they can play defensively like this, and Taysom Hill can confuse people as to whether he's got it or handing it off to Alvin Kamara, maybe the Saints can shock the world in the first round of the playoffs at the very least. So the first feature of our Rise and Shine segment brought to you by Courtyard by Marriott or the New Orleans Saints defense. And again, this segment is brought to you by my friends at Courtyard by Marriott as the official hotel of the NFL for 11 years and counting. Courtyard by Marriott is proud to fuel your love of the game all season long, whether you're on the road. When you're on the road, no reason to miss out on watching the game. You can meet at the bistro bar to cheer on your favorite team with good food and good company. Traveling to an out-of-town game with over 1,000 hotels across the U.S., Courtyard is the perfect place for you to stay near the stadium. And if you're a Marriott Bonvoy member, discover even more ways to earn and redeem points with access to exclusive NFL experiences. At Courtyard by Marriott, passion moves us forward. Where will yours take you? That's our new segment, Rise and Shine. Brought to you by Courtyard by Marriott.
I still can't believe that game. 9-0, the Saints. Cam Hayward just dominating.
Jordan.
Cam Jordan, sorry.
Yes.
Dominating the offensive line for Tampa. Tom Brady didn't look like himself. Probably lost the MVP.
It's possible.
And it looks like the Bucs are suddenly, are they Super Bowl teams or not? Like.
Or you just say it's a division opponent
game.
That has
their
number.
I don't know, man.
And because Brady. Don't forget, last year, Brady was the first time he'd ever gotten swept by a division opponent his entire career. Like, hey, you're not in the AFC East anymore, you know,
yeah,
Dorothy.
It just happened again.
And then he ended Breeze's career. And then he went into their house and ended Breeze's career.
Doesn't
you know,
feel
sent Breeze to NBC.
I don't know.
So, you know?
Yeah.
I guess.
I feel and the not as optimistic as last year watching that
Well,
game.
And the reason why you might think is that could that be a blueprint for others? As you know, it's a copycat league, and Godwin's out.
Yeah.
But Brown's coming back.
I know.
And you'll see. We shall see what happens. Don't go anywhere because Lane Kiffin's about to join us. I don't remember the last time I spoke to him.
I don't know. He was on maybe a couple years ago.
I don't remember last time. I do remember the one Senior Bowl I called. He was the coach of the Raiders.
No, he was just wearing all black.
Wearing all black. He refused to wear the Raider logo. Right. And we're like, uh-oh, something's up. Something's up. And then Richard Jefferson to talk about the NBA in hour number two. And you at 844-204-RICH. Phone lines are lit. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We're going to take your phone calls right here on the Rich Eisen Show, whether you're listening terrestrially or coast to coast or watching us.